It's now time for the Nick Turturro I Breathe Baseball Podcast. Sit back, relax, and fill your ears with Turturro.
Enthusiasms. What are mine? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy? Baseball! A man stands alone at the plate. This is a time for what? Individual achievement. There he stands alone, but in the field what? Part of a team. Bats, throws, catches, part of one big team. Bats himself to live long day, Babe Ruth, the Ty Cobb, and so on. If he don't field, what is he? No one. Sunny day, stands full of fans, what does he have to say? I'm going out there for myself. But I get nowhere unless the team wins. Team! That's right. I get nowhere unless the team wins. Welcome to the show. I Breathe Baseball Podcast, Nick Turturro. Playoff fever with my very special guest, my good friend, Frank Spagnola. Captain Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much, Nick.
Yeah, loosen up, all right?
I'll try.
Don't be a stiff like you are on Blue Bloods. The guy's a captain, right? He was on Blue Bloods a few times. And, you know, when he gets a little scene like in the courts, that's what he did for 25 years. And then I saw his acting and I said, Frank, man, that was pretty bad. He was like, well, what do you want? What do you want? I mean, I'm not an actor, man. I go, yeah, but you were a captain, right, Frank?
Yeah, absolutely. But
did they direct you?
No. I needed your direction, but you thought I was a horrible actor.
No, but really, Frank is a great guy. He's a wonderful human being. We began to have a little kinship between us. I don't know, we're like long-lost brothers, right? Like soulmates.
Absolutely.
Now, you're a big Yankee fan, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Since I'm a kid, that's a pretty long time.
Which is what, the 60s?
Oh, absolutely, 60s, yes.
So who was your favorite growing up?
You know what, Donnie Baseball's my favorite.
That's your favorite?
Well, and Thurman Munson.
Yeah, Munson's my guy too.
Yeah, you know, yeah. But Donnie Baseball is always...
But you're a little older than me. Did you get to see Mantle or anybody?
I didn't get to see Mantle, no. Nope, never seen him play it, nope.
Wow, that's unbelievable, but listen, this is a very, very big week. I mean, listen, the Yankees, they got a big game coming up. One wild card game. I mean, you're one and you're out. They lost 6 out of 7. Not the way you want to go in. They almost blew home field. I've been on the edge of my seat, a kind of suicide watch. I'm on the Twitter feed with the Yankee fans going nuts. You know, why did it have to come to this? But listen, they do got the home field game. But I am worried. I'm worried about Keuchel and that beard. That beard scares me. I don't know what it is. It just scares me. But lefties have been killing. But this team, listen, you don't know what you're going to get. Which Yankee team is going to show up? They've been banged up. I mean, they lost to Scherer. That was a big loss. But Bird has stepped in, done very nice. But, you know, they just have no consistency at the top of the lineup. I mean, Ellsbury is killing us. Gardner is killing us. I wonder if Gardner's even going to play tomorrow night. That's why I was thinking with Keuchel. I wonder if Girardi is going to go with Chris Young tomorrow night. You know, Beltran has been our best hitter. I think you have to almost think about putting Beltran second tomorrow night. I think Ellsbury, you get Beltran second, you put A-Rod third, and then maybe you put McCann fourth, Headley fifth, maybe Bird sixth, then maybe Young seventh. Maybe have Gardner come off the bench. I mean, tomorrow it's all about winning one game, because if you win one game, you're in the show. You get to go to the dance, right?
Absolutely.
But you feel good about the Yankees tomorrow night. How come you feel good?
Because they're the Yankees.
Yeah, I know that, but that ain't good enough.
Well, you know, look at throughout the years. What have they done? When you thought they were down, they come back.
I know. I mean, listen, I know that, you know, this Yankee Stadium, it's not the same aura as the old Yankee Stadium. So you hope that those box seats are filled. You hope that, you know, the 10th man arrives, that Houston gets a little rattled, because they're a young, up-and-coming, good team. I mean, George Springer in right field, Carlos Correa at shortstop, you know, Altuve. I mean, they're a formidable team. They definitely slid during the year. Texas came on fire like wild. I mean, Texas is another story. We'll get to them. I mean, I didn't know who I wanted to play. I just didn't want to face a lefty. The Yankees, I mean, you could bring me out of the bullpen and I get them out as a left-hander. But, I mean, listen, they got to hit a little bit, but the key is Tanaka has to have a good game.
You're right.
You know, pitching always beats good hitting.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
But this is what makes teams of the future. You just said, our greatest teams were young, and there's a moment that comes and you say, this is a great team. This could be our moment to make the teams of the future. We've lost a lot of good players. And what you said is exactly right. They're a young team. Now they have to show just how good they are. And tomorrow might be there, the start of our great teams again.
You're talking about the Yankees or the Astros?
I'm talking about the Yankees. Come on.
Well, no, but the Yankees, listen, I love this kid Bird. I think he's been great.
Yeah.
I think he's been dynamite. You know what I mean? But second base, I mean, tomorrow night, I think you got to go with Ackley, even though he's a lefty. Ackley's actually been hitting the ball very well, Dustin Ackley. He's been hitting the ball really good. But, I mean, to win one stupid game during the week, I mean, it drove me insane. You know, some of these pitching moves, and we'll get into that a little later. But, man, there's a lot of great baseball. I mean, look at the Cubs and the Pirates. Both teams almost won 100 games.
Yep.
And they're going to be out after one. That almost doesn't seem fair. You know, you almost have to, like, look at the standings and go, what are the top four teams? Because if a team wins their division with, say, the Yankees with 85 games, 87 games, and the guy wins 98, do you think the 98 guy deserves more than one game? I do.
I do too, yeah.
You know, and it's a shame. I mean, you got the Cubs going with Arrieta and the Pirates, who I think could go all the way. But if they lose, they go home. Mm. I mean, you know, I feel bad for the Cubs and all that stuff, but I like the Pirates, and the Pirates have been coming. I mean, that's a good team. I mean, McCutchen, Marte, Polanco, that's a good. Savelli's over there. You know, Savelli was my guy. Savelli was my guy, and I mean... You know, you got Garrett Cole, even Burnett's on that team. I'm not crazy about Melanson. The Yankees had him, and he's become a very good closer. But,
right.
But they're a good team, well-managed, well-coached. I mean, the Pirates, I mean, listen. And the Cubs, man, what a story. I mean, who knew? Like, I didn't think the Cubs were ready for this. I thought the Cubs were a year away with Rizzo and all these guys, Addison Russell. I mean, Bryant. I mean, that's a good young team. Those are two. I mean, that's going to be a great game. The Yankee game's going to be good, too. I mean, that's why I was going to stay for the game. But I'm worried, like, if I stay and they lose and I got to fly home, I'm going to be so depressed on that flight. So would I rather be depressed?
Oh, you're getting thrown off that flight.
Yeah, I'll get, you know, forget
you're
it.
You're done.
That's terrible.
Right.
You saw me in the restaurant this summer, right?
Right.
What was that experience like in the Toronto Blue Jays? Explain to the audience what it was like watching a Friday night game. The Beltran hit the game. That big comeback against Toronto, and I was nuts, right? I was pacing. I was going crazy, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I can't control myself.
You can't control yourself. It's
terrible.
It's an explosion that people don't want to see sometimes.
I know. They don't know if I'm mad at somebody.
Right.
Or I'm just mad at the television, right?
Right. But on the other hand, when the Yankees win...
Yeah, but that's maybe how I got this vertigo.
Well, that's true.
Because I blew such a gasket.
That's true.
You know, that I got this vertigo. I'm getting a little better now, but this vertigo is bad.
That's true.
There are these little crystals or particles. I think I popped one when I got so aggravated.
Well, you have, you know, quite a bit of blood vessels on your
forehead. People
tell
me, you know, yeah, you're 53 years old. You can't be acting this way anymore. They don't care. They don't care as much as you. Well, let's get back. How about the Mets? The Mets also ended the year terrible.
Right.
Terrible. They went on that miracle Met run. All the Met fans, now the Met fans are worried. Everybody stopped hitting. You know, Cespedes stopped hitting, and they're going to, you know, they lost home field to the Dodgers, which, you know, could be a big deal. In a five-game series, you like to have that fifth game, right?
Yes.
You like to have that fifth game. I mean, and this whole Matt Harvey thing, I think that put a damper on the Mets. You know, I think Harvey, they should have kept that quiet. And you know, Syndergaard, I mean, they're going up against Greinke and Kershaw.
Right.
But the Dodgers can be beat. If they pitch... It's going to be a low scoring.
They do have pitching,
yeah, but both teams have pitching.
Right.
So you're looking at 2-1, 3-2 games, and it's going to be about, you know, who gets the clutch hit, the Cespedes step up and become that guy, and then they give him the contract and he stays in New York.
Right.
I mean, I think they got to keep him there, right?
Oh.
Or the Yankees got to look at him. The Yankees have to go out and get, like, a number three, a really good hitter. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, Toronto.
He's a $20 million player.
Toronto, I think Toronto lost... Lost home field, I think, Kansas right. City. So if the Yankees survive, they'll probably have to play Kansas City. Which I like better because Toronto's had their number.
Yes.
Toronto's just, for whatever reason right now, Toronto is, I mean, listen, they made some moves. I mean, Ben Revere, Tulowitzki's coming back. I mean, the Price move was big, you know, because they gave him that stud. And they got some other, I mean, they're just, their lineup is scary. They stole Donaldson from the A's. They stole him. They literally stole the guy. Stole Donaldson. I mean, Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion. You know, when you look at these guys coming up, you're just like, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, every time it's like two.
There's no
three,
pitching
four.
Around them.
Yeah, you can't pitch around them.
Can't pitch around
Pick them. Pick your poison.
That's right.
But the thing is, you can't make a mistake. You know what I mean? And baseball is a game of mistakes. If you miss your location, like Tanaka could be great. But if he misses his location, he could get lit up.
Would you start Tanaka?
I had to start him because he's been their best pitcher.
Even over Sabathia?
Yeah, and Sabathia, I love CeCe because he's a warrior.
Right.
But I think CeCe will be in the mix. I mean, Severino will probably be on call. It's going to be a short list, you know. So, I mean, it's going to be nerve-wracking, you know what I mean? And listen, Pirate Cup fans, that's going to be nerve-wracking. Then you got the Mets, Dodgers, and then you got the Rangers who are going to play the Blue Jays.
Rays.
Well, I mean, the Rangers are a hot team.
Team.
They're right. A scary
that's
team.
That's going to be an interesting series.
Yeah, let me tell you something. The Blue Jays are going to have their hands full with the Rangers.
I agree.
Especially with Beltre, all these guys getting hot.
Yes.
Prince Fielder, you know, they got Cole Hamels now.
Right.
They're no joke. So Toronto better be careful.
Oh,
you know right. What I mean?
They can't take them lightly.
I mean, they don't want to, you know, Toronto, they haven't been there in a long time. So if they lose one series and they're out, they'll be very disappointed with those Canadians. They're really looking forward. Now, nothing against Canada.
No.
Oh, Canada. Look at this paper I got here. Interesting. I was at a baseball convention, sports convention show yesterday, and a guy gave me, I was signing pictures. I've never done this before. A newspaper, Daily News from 1948, just to show you what the times were like. Braves, Wallop, fella. DiMaggio Inks, $85,000. $85,000. Man, what was that? That was a lot of money then. $85,000 today is probably like $3 million or something, right?
More, sure.
Unbelievable. $85,000 when you look at it. It's incredible. $100,000 was, that was a big deal when Mickey Mantle and Bobby Mantle.
Actually,
I think Bobby Mercer got $100,000. Yeah.
Mantle too, right?
I think Mantle might have got $100,000. Yeah, pretty. I was hanging out with John Candelaria yesterday. Remember Candelaria?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know I was a big baseball fan. Some people don't know. They say, Nick, wow, I like your movies. I want to talk about what's your next project. And he's like, man, I didn't know you know so much about baseball.
Oh, forget it.
I go, yeah, this is my life, right? I breathe, I sleep, I eat baseball, right? I am a baseball.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm going to do a book about baseball. I'm on a mission right now about my 40 years.
But you're just not a fan. You know statistics.
I know statistics. I know names.
Right.
You know, you throw names at me, and for some reason, it sticks. I can't remember things about my own kids, and I remember stuff about baseball.
True.
It's kind of sad. But no, listen, I'm pumped. I'm optimistic, but I don't want to get overly pumped because, you know, I don't want to set myself up for a letdown because it could be all over tomorrow night for the Yankees. But I'm hoping that it's not. You know what I mean? I'm hoping. I'm optimistic. But I have to be cautious.
Cautiously optimistic?
Yes, cautiously optimistic.
All right.
Because it's you know, it's something that, you know, I can't get myself.
I'm not going to be cautious. They're going to win tomorrow.
I like that.
That's it.
Well, you need people like you. You can't just be like me, a guy that's always thinking.
They're going to find a way to win.
Let me give you a Mets-Dodgers. What do you think? I say the Mets are going to win this. I say the Mets are going to win in five. I don't know why I have a funny feeling.
Well, if in five?
Yeah.
In five.
I know that's kind of hard.
They're going to win in L.A.
In Chavez Ravine.
I don't know. I think if it goes four, it's Dodgers.
Four?
If it goes to four, if it goes to the fifth game, I'm saying, it's a Dodgers game.
Yeah.
At home, I can't see them beating them at home.
Pittsburgh Cubs.
You know what? I know what you were saying about the Cubs, and you didn't think that they would. I say Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think it's Pittsburgh's year.
I think
Pittsburgh is gonna win that game, and I think they're gonna get by the Cardinals. The Cardinals, I mean, they're a great organization. I left out the Cardinals. I mean, you leave them out because they're so good they've almost become boring.
That's true.
They always find a way. They guys get hurt, guys get injured, and they just keep plugging these guys in. They're an incredible organization.
Yes,
they really are. I mean, the Cardinals have become like the organization. But I think the Pirates, I could see them getting by them.
I see them going to the World Series.
And I could see them beating the Dodgers or the Mets. You know, and then in the American League, I think it's Toronto's year. Even though, you know, my heart says the Yankees, but I'd be happy if the Yankees get a series against KC. That would be great because then we could revisit the Yankees and the Royals.
Because that's right.
That was a
George
rivalry.
Brett years.
76,
right.
77, 78. Right. I was there at the Chris Chambliss game in 76.
Right.
I jumped on the field. I ripped out grass. I was running with it. I was on the subway crying, planted in my backyard.
What's the statute of limitation for ripping out grass at Yankee Stadium right now?
It was okay. Who gave up that pitch? Who threw the pitch to Chris Chambliss?
Oh, come on now.
Your son would know.
My son would know. You know.
The initials, ML.
Come on. You put me on the spot all the time. I don't remember what I ate for breakfast this morning.
Mark Littell.
Right.
Yeah, who was the shortstop for the Royals? He was about 5'4".
It started with a P.
That's right. You're close.
Oh, God. See, I'm not good
Time's
with
up. Freddie Patek.
Oh, Patek, right.
See, second baseman. Who was the second baseman?
Oh, why are you putting me on these
I'm watching on us if you know the Royals from the 70s.
You're supposed to give me a script. I'm only good
There's
at
no
reading
script.
Stuff.
Frank White. Remember
Frank
White?
Oh, Frank White, yes.
First base.
As long as you tell me things, I know.
Third base. Don't tell me you don't know third base.
Oh, George Brett. Come on. Pintar.
Hey, who was the center fielder? He came up as a Met. He came up as a Met, and he was a center fielder for the Orioles.
Oh.
Not Orioles.
For Kansas City.
Kansas City. Initials A-O.
A-O?
Yeah. Amos Otis.
Otis. All right. I told you.
And then in 81, or 80, they finally got over. I was there that night, and Brett hit a bomb off Goose.
Right.
1980. And the Royals finally, you know, they got over that hump with the Yankees. Jeez. They beat them after Munson had passed away.
Right.
And, what do you call it? Brett owned the Goose. You know, Brett one time hit 3 home runs a day baseball game. It was a playoff game against the Yankees, I think in 78.
Really?
Off Catfish. They were all solo home runs, and the Yankees won the game.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Tanaka, I don't mind if he gives up a long ball. Please, nobody on base.
Base, right.
Because that's the kiss of death, 3-run homers.
But, you know, he's, I have to tell you.
Well, this is his moment. This is what they brought him here for.
That's right.
So, you know what I mean?
Let's hope he doesn't overpitch.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's a smart guy. He's pitched in front of a lot of people in Japan, and he seems like he's got good poise.
Well, let's hope.
I mean, I'm
he's going to need it against this game.
Yes. Now, as a very special guest, is he here? Vinny Milano, known as Bald Vinny of the Yankees. My man, how are you, Vin?
I'm doing good, Nick. How are you doing today?
Good to hear you, pal. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Really, really excited about tomorrow night, man. Are you fired up or what?
I'm fired up. I mean, you ready to get all your troops going?
I sure am. You know, there's been a lot of talk lately about how everybody's feeling comfortable at Yankee Stadium, at the new stadium. So I take offense to that. Some Yankee fans show up and ready to make a little bit of noise tomorrow. We need to bring some intimidation back to that ballpark.
I know. And get people to be seated in those freaking seats, in those rich seats, right?
Absolutely, man. I really hope this place is packed tomorrow, although I don't really think Yankee fans are feeling too confident about it, but I really hope they show up and support the team tomorrow.
I know. Now, tell us about yourself, Vin. You've been doing this Bleacher Creature stuff for how many years now?
This is my 16th year out in the bleachers, I think. it used to be a really cheap seat back in the old stadium. You know, it was $6 and general admission, and I was living alone, living in Queens, working in the city, and it was either go home and watch the game by myself on my couch or for under $10, go see it live. And found a really great group of people. We were all passionate about the Yankees, loud and obnoxious back in the day, and I fit right in back then. So it became family for me. And then, you know, one thing leads to another. I used to work in .com sales, and I got laid off when the bubble burst, and I started my own T-shirt company. And I make apparel geared towards Yankee Stadium Bleacher Creatures and really hardcore Yankee fans in general. Try to find some unique stuff that you don't find everywhere else, not your typical, you know, Modell's offerings or whatnot. Just a little, cater to a little smarter of an audience. So that's been kind of what I've been doing for the last 15 some odd years.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, I mean, did you ever think you were going to make a business out of it?
No, I never, you know, I never really did. It was one of those things where I've always liked apparel that was made, you know, for groups that I was in, whether you're in on a sports team or, you know, you have a cool restaurant in your neighborhood that you like to frequent. I've always been one of those guys who likes to, you know, show off and rep my group. So when the opportunity arose, you know, and I started the T-shirt company, it was really just to make things for our crew. You know, we wanted to show support for Section 39 back in the old house. And, we were loud and passionate, and we wanted our power to reflect that. And, little did I know that many years later, you know, I'd still be doing it. But really what for us, or for me in particular, what kind of took it to the next level was the rivalry stuff.
Yeah.
Back when, you know, the Sox were really more of a hated rival.
Right.
The apparel line of anything that made fun of anybody from Boston or any of the Boston players. That's what really kept me going and kept me in business for all those years.
Have you gone up to Fenway as a Bleacher Creature? Have you sat like on the Monster? Have you done anything like that?
I haven't been up in the Monster, but we used to travel all the time as a group. Back in the day, at Fenway, they used to do day of game tickets, where you could wait out actually on Yawkey Street overnight. We would go up on a Thursday, and you'd literally sleep on the sidewalk And first thing Friday morning, with tickets would go on sale for that night's game. And you'd pick up your seats, and we would go back to the hotel, catch a couple hours sleep, quick shower. And we always stood in Section 8. I was right by the pesky pole, standing room section. And for years, that was Yankee friendly zone up in Fenway. And we saw some great games. You know, recently there was the anniversary of the night that Cone almost went perfect up there. He got broken up by Carl Everett.
Messina.
Messina, rather, yes. Yeah. Sorry, he faced Cone that night.
That's right, he faced Cone.
Right. So things like games like that where you get to be in the house, where Clemens came back, his first time pitching Boston in a Yankee uniform.
He got bombed, didn't he? Did he get bombed?
For that. We get to have a really good time up there, and so we bring our act on the road.
Yeah, the ambiance is unbelievable there, isn't it?
Oh, great. It's a great ballpark. You don't get the old stadium feel very much anymore, obviously, because everything's
right.
been...
You agree you lost all that moving it across
absolutely.
The street.
Absolutely.
You lost all
absolutely.
The ambiance, right?
Absolutely. I mean, from the way the seating is made, where you're not really on top of the action anymore, to all the quote-unquote distractions or things that pull you away from the game, all the restaurants and the shops and whatnot. I mean, on one hand, I think it does detract from the game experience. But on the other hand, you know, I can certainly see how it retains people in the building. You know, for example, we had two years ago, there was like a 3 or 4 hour rain delay against Boston. The game started at like 10:30 at night, but nobody left because there was plenty of places to hang out. You could shop, you could eat, you could drink. Whereas in the old stadium, if it was a hot, humid, you know, summer night,
you're in
those hallways, and that was the worst.
Right.
I could see the benefits of it. And, I mean, you go up to Fenway, you know, you want to leave that ballpark when the game's over.
Well, because it's a different experience.
Minutes.
It's like going to...
There's trade-offs everywhere.
Right. I mean, there's trade-offs. I mean, it's like my son was saying it to me this summer. He was like, man, I got to tell you, Dad, the seats are nice. I said, yeah, the food is great. It's a great place to hang. I go, yeah, but we're talking about the ambiance, you know, the intensity, those things, the intangibles that are missing. But on the trade-off is... You're right. It's a different world today. It's a different time. You want comfort. You want food. And it offers all these amenities. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest things ever at the new Yankee Stadium, they had that Big Four concert a few years back, which were like four huge heavy metal bands that came out and played. And somebody was nice enough to grace me with Legends tickets. That's the only time I've actually been in the Legends area.
Yeah.
We were inside the restaurant, and we're eating dinner. And Slayer, which is probably one of the heaviest of all heavy metal bands, comes on the stage. And we're sitting right by the window, and had I not seen the lights going off on the stage, I would have had no idea they were on. I mean, this is like a crunching loud, a million decibels heavy metal band, and I'm sitting less than 1,000 feet away, and I could hear them. So what's it like in a ball game? You're certainly not getting any of the ambiance. You're not hearing any fans cheering. You're not hearing the organ music
right.
or the sound effects. I mean, you might as well just at an Applebee's.
I know.
Home.
I mean,
you know, it's just different for me.
I know. That's the sad part. You know, like when I saw the Mets play the Yankees a few weeks ago, Citi Field was packed, man. And they were rocking.
Yeah.
They were rocking. And I mean, I'm not a Met fan, you know, but I mean, you got to say their ballpark has got, it's got a little more energy, you know what I mean?
They're definitely having a lot of fun over there in Queens. I mean, that's for sure. You can see how they're rolling all summer long. The fans are out there. They're excited. They're passionate. And I mean, you got to hand it to them. They're having a good time.
Yeah, they are.
Yankee fans, we've definitely had that. We've had a taste of that.
Yeah, I know.
Unfortunately, Yankee fans, I feel, are a little disappointed in what's going on, you know.
You think there's a lack of passion? You think there's a lack of passion?
July, now we're facing a one-game playoff tomorrow. So, yeah, it's definitely a different situation up in the Bronx.
I know. How long you been a Yankee fan?
Since birth, you know.
Right.
It was one of those things where... My folks used to work full time, and I was raised at my grandma's house. And my aunts and uncles were all Yankee fans. So,
but your time was in the 90s, right? I mean, because you're younger than me, right?
I just turned 40 last week.
Right. So I mean, you wouldn't remember the 70s like I did, right?
No. I remember the lean years in the 80s when my family was afraid to take us up to the Bronx and we watched everything on TV. And you know, but I didn't get to the stadium for the first time until about 92, I think. I was just in high school. I was able to kind of sneak out and go up on my own.
Yeah, but what do you think is missing with the team? I mean, like, it just seems like there's a lack of, like you just said, like fun or passion. It's just something is just like that. And I like the team, but, you know, I just like, it's like something I can't put my hand on it. You know,
they're definitely, they're not really playing with the urgency that I think the fan base feels. You know, they're not, there's definitely a spark missing. I agree with you on that. And I think it was early on where they tried to kind of get all on the same page, doing the mustache thing, you know, trying to increase the camaraderie.
Right.
Maybe build a team with a lot of new faces. And
right.
I think in a way that worked. I mean, I think their biggest challenge this year was making Didi Gregorius feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I think they succeeded in that because he's going to be a vital part of our future.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the way the team is, we have a lot of old guys.
I know.
Really,
yeah.
Really
hey, listen,
no way around that.
Listen, you know, I was at the 19-inning game this year. I was at that game, and I'm looking at the team in April, and I said, they stink. I said, they're not going anywhere. So, you know, they've a lot better than I thought. I didn't think this group, we didn't know what A-Rod was going to give us. A-Rod's been really a good story. He's been a lot of fun to watch this year. I don't know how you feel about him, but I actually think he's been a lot of fun on the bench. You know, whether you like him or you hate him, he's an interesting dude, A-Rod.
And, well, I happen to be a huge, huge A-Rod supporter.
I've become one, too.
I met him at a fundraiser
so
in 2010, and he was completely changed my opinion of him. As a person and as a ball player, just because he was cordial and interested in what I had to say to him. And, you know, he had every opportunity to blow me off. There was tons of media waiting for him, and he had every opportunity to play that role, but he didn't, and it completely surprised me. So ever since then, I throw my support behind him, and kind of boils down to what it is to be a fan. You know, you support the guys who need support.
Right.
You know, anybody can root for Jeter all day long. But you really got to get behind a guy like, for example, like Jabba Chamberlain, good friend of the Bleacher Creatures,
right.
Went down, broke his ankle. Everybody is hating on this guy. My kids made him get well cards. You know what I mean? Like, because those are the guys you got to get behind. Ones who have a checkered past, you know, who might need a little boost. And in the beginning of the year, when I was doing interviews about all this A-Rod stuff, I would say, you know, if it is somewhere in his mind, he knows that there's somebody out there who's got his back that could help. Then that's what we do it for. You know, baseball is such a mental game. You have
the
confidence level.
I know.
You know, and knowing that people out there support you, I think that's very big.
I know.
And as the tide turned this year and he was producing, feeling the love that he's been getting. I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of the MLB graphics for the postseason. They're actually using A-Rod as the Yankee representative. I mean, who would have thought of that a year ago? That MLB would be promoting this guy.
I had guys that told me they thought he would never play another game,
absolutely,
period, for the Yankees.
You know, and they were, even at the beginning of the year, they said maybe he'll give you 100 games, maybe. But if you played 148 games this year, you know, hitting 30 home runs, that's great production. So I'm super psyched for him.
I know. He's a special talent. One thing about A-Rod, I mean, you know, if he looks back on his career, yeah, he's going to have a lot of regret and stuff. But in the end, I mean, he's got tremendous ability. I mean, you look at him and he loves the game. He's always talking about the game. He's always thinking. And that's the thing about him. You know, it's a shame steroids and juice and all this stuff really, you know, tainted his legacy. But when all is said and done, you got to say Alex Rodriguez is a terrific baseball player. And, you know, it's a shame. His numbers are, you know, they're inflated, but he's not the only guy. But he's not a guy that I think his whole career should be judged on, you know, that he did juice or whatever.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I hate to use the excuse that everybody was doing it at the time. And, you know, I feel like there's definitely an episode where he was singled out or a little bit of a scapegoat for that whole era of users in that time. But you still have to have ability. You know, a lot of these steroids, people think steroids, you're going to get big. Like, I think of the Maguires and Sammy Sosa, where you're adding 35 pounds of muscle. It's not really that much. It's more like what Andy Pettit had, you know, where you're using things for recovery.
Right.
You know, to help you recover from workouts and from the strenuous exercise.
People don't understand that, Vinny. They don't understand that.
Old.
You're right.
You get a little older.
Captain Frank, my friend over here, co-hosting today.
Hey, Vin, how are you?
He wants to say, ask you a question.
Okay. Well, you know what? You got to give A-Rod credit. He came back. He made it about the team and not about himself this year.
Absolutely.
That's what I really believe. You know, it could have been about him, and he really made it about the team. But I got a question for you, Vin. Being out there, let me ask you a question. You know, the makeup of the fans and the team, do you think that they really, a problem is missing Jeter? Do you see that?
I think Jeter was always, you know, the face of the franchise,
right,
the captain and the icon to look up to. He certainly put a lot of people on the seats. I mean, there's no denying that whatsoever. I do think they're missing that presence. Yankee fans, I don't mean much in the team or in the clubhouse, because players come and go. And
you don't think that they're missing a leader in the clubhouse, but with Jeter?
I do, in a way, but I feel like guys step up in those roles. You know, I don't think that the team, let's be honest, replacing Jeter, we're a better team than we were last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Right? I would agree with that, yes.
Yeah.
So, in reality, you know, the leadership roles fall on the veterans, and I think we have a very better clubhouse. So I don't feel like that's missing so much as far as fans go, very much so. You know, a lot of people, he's their Mickey Mantle. He's their Joe DiMaggio.
Right.
He's
right.
their tie to an entire generation of Yankees, you
yeah.
know, especially people of my age group, maybe a little younger than me. That's all they know is Derek Jeter. So, yeah, of course they feel the hole missing. And I feel like that's kind of why Didi got off to a little shaky start. And it's good to see that he, you know, finally firmly grounding himself, and the Yankees are able to move on, and we're putting the plaques up, and we're retiring the numbers. And I feel like
too many plaques, Vinny. Too many plaques. Don't you agree? Too many numbers retired. Come on,
yeah,
Vin.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Too many plaques.
I mean, I don't mind the plaques, Vin, but you can't retire every Tom, Dick, and Harry that played for the Yankees.
I agree.
There's no numbers left. I mean, the Jeter, Mariano, those are legendary players. Okay, those numbers are a given. But these other guys, I love them. The Warrior, you know, O'Neill, I love him. He's one of my favorites. Tino, I mean, you know, even Bernie. I love Bernie. You know, give him the plaque, but do right. we got to retire every freaking number?
The only guys I like, the Jorge and Bernie thing, I kind of get because they're homegrown.
Yeah,
they were our guys.
Yeah, they're homegrown. They're our guys.
Paul is red. You know, he's from Cincinnati. I get it. He's involved with the organization.
I know, and I love O'Neill. I
love those guys to death, too. I mean, they've all been super awesome to everybody in our group. You know, we've had a great time together.
They're awesome.
But I agree with you. They're putting everybody out there.
No, but I mean, when you think about it, it should be only like, you know, it should be 2, 4, 5, 7, you know, maybe 15 because Thurman died. Donnie Baseball, yeah. I mean, Reggie was a hired gun. I love Reggie, but he was a hired gun.
He was a hired gun, exactly.
You know, he's a hired gun. He's an Oakland A.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, but, you know, but that's, listen, the Yankee tradition, they've made a kind of a commercial thing out of it. I mean, what are you going to do? But listen, let's get down to business here. Gut feeling tomorrow night. How do you feel? I mean, what do you feel? I mean, what do you think about the lineup tomorrow?
I don't think all of a sudden that, you know, the Yankee lineup's going to figure out how to hit.
I know.
I don't think that's good. Like, they're going to magically wake
up. Let me ask you, would you think about putting Beltran, moving him up to maybe third or second?
Third, right. And I would actually sit Ellsbury and you'd have a little speed coming off the bench.
I think
Young murders lefties, and I think he's got to find.
I think you got to find Chris Young in that game tomorrow night, you know. And then Tanaka, he's on a short leash, right? Right? I mean,
definitely short leash. But if there's anybody I think is going to step up, I mean, that's a huge source of pride to be the man.
I know.
So I really think I'm going to get a big game out of Tanaka tomorrow.
Yeah, you just got to watch out.
We need some bats, man. We need some offense.
We got to
really
score some runs.
That bad for us. You know, we've had a couple of here and there, but, you know, you get a guy like CeCe who goes out, gives up 4 runs, everybody's killing him because he gave up 2 home runs, but we can't score 5. Come on, give me a break. You have no offense.
I know, and that's what's scary about this offense. It's not like an offense that you know that, you know, they could come back 2-3 runs. They could if they hit a home run, but they don't.
No, that's it. If you only hit a home run,
right,
I mean, the top three in our lineup.
That's it.
Ellsbury and Gardner are killing me, man.
My God. Like Gardner, like, he just, like, died. I don't know. Like, he's not seeing the baseball. Ellsbury, all he does is roll over ground balls.
All day. And, I mean, even McCann slumping, Headley slumping. I mean, obviously, we're not going in. We didn't finish the stretch run on all burners. We're not firing all cylinders. But, if you use the same cliche, everybody starts 0-0 tomorrow. You know, it is a brand new day. It's a brand new game. And you never know who steps up in the playoffs, man. I want to see some young kids turn it on. I want to see Greg Bird.
Greg Bird might come up big.
Light it up.
He might light it up. That kid is a cool looking kid, and he could hit lefties. You know, I haven't seen.
You're filling in admirably for Teixeira. You know, the really bad thing that we miss on Teixeira is the switch hitting.
Yeah, and the switch hitting. Yeah, I know.
Bird's got some power, but that switch hitter in the lineup offers a lot of potential.
You got to get these guys to take some.
A-Rod's production in the second half shows that, you know.
I have a funny feeling A-Rod's going to do something big tomorrow night.
I want it. You know,
Vinny,
we commiserate a lot.
I'll talk
Twitter,
to you. I'll be on the Twitter feed. I mean, I'm
passionate. So
yeah, I hope there's more baseball for us. I mean, either way, I'll be watching all this. It's all a great bunch of series. Who do you like? The Cubs, the Pirates? Who do you like in that game?
I just want to see the Yankees win.
All right.
I don't care about anybody else's anything. I want to see the Yankees win.
All right. Well, I'll be talking to you. And listen, Blan, bring me home a win, will you? Please.
Absolutely. If you want to come make some noise with us in the bleachers, man, you're always welcome.
No, I just don't want to have to go home depressed if they lose. I'm so superstitious. But if they have another series, I'll definitely take you up on that, pal.
All right, man. Sounds great.
Thanks for the call, bud.
Thanks for having me.
Let the creatures do something special tomorrow.
Vinny Milano. Vinny from the Bleacher Creatures. Good guy. Thanks a lot, buddy. Hey, listen, it was a great show. Captain Frank, Ball Vinny, Yankees, let's win tomorrow night.
And go Yankees!
Somehow, some way, let's bring it home. I don't want to be depressed on a Wednesday. I'll still be talking baseball through October. I don't care. I'm out.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.